Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 11 minutes after 4 o'clock. Jordana, Paul, David Josephson back at the helm. We're glad you're back from your vacation, David.
It is nice to be here, a little jet-lagged, but I'll have to get an extra coffee here.
Yeah. And you went to the Guinness plant, right?
We did go to the took the Guinness tour in downtown Dublin last weekend. Yeah,
it's like a shrine to beer.
It's like seven stories of the story of how these five ingredients turn into.
It's all about the water, Guinness. David. It's the water.
You know what was the best thing? I was on the fence about whether we should go to the Guinness tour because it's touristy, and I've been to a brewery tour before, and it's like, okay, you make the beer the same. But my daughter, who's 16 months old, absolutely loved it. I mean, she's too young to understand
the
what's
tour,
going on.
But not the beer.
No, yes, she did not try any of the beer.
All right.
They How old is she? She's old enough now. She should try something.
16 months, 16 not months. Years.
Hashtag bad choices.
Okay. And, you know, you could play in the, grain. They had a big thing of grain that you can go and throw around, and they had audio visual things, and she thought it was fantastic. She was running all over the place, and of course she doesn't know what it's all about.
Of course not. Yeah, we're gonna have to play What'd You Learn on Your Trip.
Yes, we will have to do that. I have plenty of things
but it's
to share.
Pretty cool though. You go up seven floors, and then at the top it's sort of an observation deck, windows, and they give you a complimentary
they Guinness. Give you a pint,
yes,
a full pint, and you get to enjoy that. I was going to say free, but you pay quite a bit for the tour, so it's not really free. And you have a 360 view from seven floors up of downtown Dublin.
You know,
gorgeous.
And aren't the Irish great? I remember just standing, Laurie and I standing on a street corner looking baffled, which we look most of the time, and people would come up and say, do you need help? They volunteered.
We experienced that regularly. The people in Ireland were fantastic. Maybe the only exception to that was one of the highlights when we actually saw three drunk Irish men arguing very loudly and cussing on a street corner.
It's the real experience.
That's the real thing, right?
Wow. The true deal.
Yeah, so.
Love that.
Enforcing stereotypes, I guess.
We're a little off topic, but we did miss David, and he did have a great trip. But the real topic is the shareholders. We're talking about 200 companies, 200 chief executives, Apple, Pepsi, Walmart, JP Morgan, on Monday have redefined the role of business in society.
And is it aspirational? Is this a PR stunt? Is it going to go back to business as usual? Remains to be seen. But what is the purpose of a corporation? What is the responsibility of business? Milton Friedman was a Nobel-winning economist back in 1970. He said, engage in activities designed to increase its profits. Companies must obey the law. But beyond that, their job is to make money for shareholders. Yesterday, 181 of these American CEOs in the Business Roundtable issued a statement that changed the purpose of a corporation from simply providing value to shareholders, i.e. making money for shareholders, for investors, to instead benefiting many stakeholders, including customers, employees, suppliers, communities, dealing fairly and ethically with suppliers, supporting the communities in which we work, generating long-term value for shareholders, even treating the environment as a stakeholder. So the whole concept of ROI, return on investment, it's not just how much money did you make for the initial investors, it's did everybody
holistic
in the ecosystem benefit?
That's right. 181 CEOs signed the statement. So I know we wonder if it's pie in the sky, if it's aspirational. Well, their names are on the dotted line. They say they're going to they'll give their employees these important benefits and use more sustainable practices to protect the environment in addition to what they signed. And you wonder what caused this. We have seen, at least, Paul, I think in our lifetime, we've seen millennials and generations after us want to work for and patronize companies that do good things in the world, that do fair practices. We've seen a lot of these companies on the internet. These are fair practices. You know, people overseas making bracelets and jewelry and things like that. We want to patronize them. We want to make sure that people aren't companies aren't doing testing on animals or using slave labor in
right.
certain companies.
Exactly.
Excuse me, in certain countries, or child labor in certain countries. So I'm sure over our lifetime, these ideals have evolved about what kind of companies we want to work with. And in fact, social media has accelerated that. Totally. I mean, think of Toms, you know, the shoes that if you buy a pair, and there are these little canvas shoes. If you buy a pair, another pair gets donated mm-hmm. to a child in Africa. Just the idea of that wasn't even present, I think, when we were kids.
Yeah. And social media, too. It's also made it a lot easier for customers to kind of gang up. Mm-hmm. If a corporation does something wrong mm-hmm. or something they perceive as wrong.
There's petitions.
Yeah.
There's
so it's instant, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so corporations can't hide the way they could maybe back in the 60s and 70s and you hire PR specialists, mm-hmm. you know, to make the spin work out the way they want. But you're right. I mean, younger people want to buy products, services, and work for companies that basically have a mission.
That's right. And they're part of the solution, not companies that are dumping and only for the shareholder, that have a mission of sustainability, of being good to their employees, of being good to the environment, of being philanthropic. Yet, how is this all going to happen? How is it really, you know, when the pedal's to the metal, how is it going to be implemented?
Because here's the deal, Jor. If a significant percentage of Americans believe the American dream is no longer attainable. You know, I'm working 2, 3, 5 gigs and I cannot mm-hmm. make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
If they think the system is rigged against them, they're going to be looking for more radical alternatives, including populism, including socialism. So is capitalism ripe for a reboot, a reset? Is there a smarter way to go forward? Is capitalism itself being disrupted? We're going to talk to an expert coming up. Mark Fenner answers some questions when we come back on CCO.
Jordana here. I want to tell you about my friend John Schuster of the John Schuster Group, Coldwell Banker Burnett. Do you know that he and Paul Douglas do a home seller forum? You know, John Schuster is a guy who consistently sells homes at or over asking price. He sold my home. He's the only guy I'd call if I was going to sell another home. He knows the secrets that have helped hundreds of families already this year sell their home fast and for the most money. Well, he and Paul Douglas are going to be moderating another home seller forum. John's going to show you the three things that all sellers must do to make the most money out of the sale of your home, the 5 pitfalls that most sellers make, and timing the real estate market right so you can make thousands more. Hey, if you go with John Schuster, you know, there's no time is a bad time to put your house on the market with John. The home seller forums are Wednesday, September 10th at 11 a.m. and 6:45 in the Maple Grove Community Center, and Thursday, September 12th, 11 a.m. and 6:45 at the Egan Community Center. Now, look, if you're serious about making the most money for your home, this event will give you real tips from real sellers. You don't have to sign with John Schuster. This really is for people just looking for information. It's a service that he offers because he is the expert. Space is limited. The last seller home forum sold out very fast. Register online at johnschustergroup.com. That's johnschustergroup.com.
Paul and Jordana, welcome back. Is this a sea change for corporations in America? Shareholder interests and stock prices shouldn't always come first, according to the Business Roundtable. Again, 181 CEOs signed on to this. Can you do good and do well? Or is this all talk? With us to talk about this is Mark Fenner. He's a business strategist. He works with organizations and execs across the country to instill the disciplines of excellence. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is this real? I mean, is this sustainable or is this all a PR stunt?
Well, it's maybe a little bit of all of the above, but I think it is real and it is sustainable. Middle market companies have been doing this all along. In fact, you'd argue that the big elephants out there, the big Fortune 500 companies, should as well. But I think they're just finally learning that they have no choice mm-hmm. but to value employees, you know, value customers, value the environment, or their market share is gonna start to dwindle.
Mark, do you have any idea what we're going to see? What are the changes going to be at Pepsi? How is Apple going to change with this new philosophy?
Well, I think that, you know, the war for talent is real, and,
yes.
and talent's won. And, you know, the social media has shifted power to the employee, and it's shifted power to the consumer. And before, corporations did not need to really take those constituencies into account as they were developing their strategy, but today they do. So, you know, I can't speak for exactly what changes you're going to see there, but I know that CEOs that want to attract and retain customers and want to attract and retain employees have got to be more sensitive to what's important to those constituencies.
Hey, Mark, you probably know this, but Bill Gates back in 2008 called for a new creative capitalism. He says something that struck me at the time. He said the genius of capitalism lies in its ability to harness self-interest in helpful and sustainable ways, but its benefits inevitably skew to those who can pay. To provide rapid improvement for the poor, we need a system that draws in innovators and businesses in a far better way. We need to help businesses make profits, but also improve lives for those who don't fully benefit from market forces. That's going to be a tough needle to thread, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think that's why you're seeing the conscious capitalism.
I mean, he said that in 2008. He was way ahead of this curve.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? John Kotter, the Harvard Business School professor, wrote about this in his book, Corporate Culture and Performance, back in the 1990s, and he talked about the importance of having a balance between shareholder interests, customer interests, and employee interests, and the importance of keeping those in balance. And then conscious capitalism sprouted probably around that time. I don't know exactly. I think it was 2009, 2010, 2011. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of documented research. I mean, Firms of Endearment is one of my favorite books on the topic. That companies that keep all their stakeholders in balance, in other words, they don't just focus on shareholders, they don't over-focus on customers, don't over-focus on employees, but keep those in balance, outperform companies that only focus on the good of the shareholder.
You know, what's interesting to me, Mark, is this is not government mandated. You know, the government, that are fairly impotent anyway, didn't have a hand in this. The CEOs decided this themselves. So it begs the question, I guess, as a skeptic like I am, is it out of the goodness of their heart because there is a sea change? Or could this be better for business than just worrying about stakeholders?
Well, I mean, personally, because I've just seen it work with so many companies, I think it's for the better of the company. I mean, I just believe that these big companies that make up the business roundtable have gotten so much momentum and they've got so much leverage that they have not had to be as sensitive to the needs of their employees and their customers and the society as a whole. But I think you're seeing that shift now. Social media has given a voice to average people, and that voice is speaking up.
So, Mark, older people may shrug and shake their head and say, well, the reason you have a business is to make money. You go out, you hire people. It's good for the local community. We, of course, want to support and sustain businesses. But at the end of the day, businesses want to stay in business, right? And expectations
That's right.
from younger people have changed. 20-somethings have different expectations than 50-somethings. So if these
right.
if Pepsi wants to stick around another 100 years, they have to try some new things, right?
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at their credo, they're going to deliver value to customers. Well, shouldn't they have been doing that all along?
Yeah.
in their employees. Well, shouldn't you have been doing that all along? We're going to deal fairly and ethically with our suppliers.
Right.
Well, shouldn't you have been doing that all along?
Yep.
The things that they've put in this are things that great companies today that are scaling,
yeah.
right, that don't have the luxury of the behemoths because they've been in business for as long and they're mm-hmm. dominating their industries. These are the things that they're doing to scale and compete with these the big elephants that we call them that are in industry. And I think these guys are, you know, they're not, and they're suffering from a tremendous amount of political pressure. And so they're doing what they can to say, hey, we may need to change our ways and be more forthcoming with it.
Mark Fenner, business strategist. We know you have other interviews to get to, but we really appreciate the time here on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Okay, anytime.
That was illuminating.
You know, and also these companies, you know, other these behemoths, they should have been doing this all along. These are also companies that grew up 50 years ago, 100 years ago. They've lived through recessions. They've lived through hard times, mm-hmm. and they had to make cutbacks. Well, when you make cutbacks, you get really lean. And then you realize, oh, I can live a little leaner. We can do this. We can do that. You don't always then reinflate to where you were, you know, when times get better. So not that I totally fault them for, yeah, you should have been doing this all along. But I do see the pattern where, hey, we had hard times. We had to suffer. We had to struggle. But now we are going to get up to par again.
But it takes a visionary company. And I've worked for companies that are visionary and companies that aren't visionary. And I've tried to start companies. But it's hard, especially when things are going well, to reinvest, to make the changes you should be making. It's usually during the downtimes, the recessions, when you have to cut back. Then you have to pivot and you go a different direction. Mm-hmm. It never, ever turns out the way you think. But if you don't tweak, if you don't constantly try to reinvent, you're going to fade away. You're going to die. So these companies, I think, are doing the right thing, and time will tell if it's all talk or if this really shows up and if more people can benefit, including the local communities. So we'll keep you posted, but we thought this was an interesting development.
How much did Barack Obama's high school basketball jersey sell for? Find out next. So how much do you think Barack Obama's high school basketball jersey sold for at auction?
$14.
Well, they thought they started the bidding, and by the way, no. So just
was
no.
I close?
So no.
Was wait.
No. No. You weren't close.
$28.17.
So they started the bidding at $25,000.
Wow.
The jersey sold this weekend in Dallas for nearly five times that. An unidentified collector ponied up $120,000 to take home President Obama's jersey from Punahou School, a prep school in Honolulu. It was put up for auction by a classmate of Obama's,
wow.
Peter Noble. He says he was 3 years behind the former president at the school, and he only grabbed the jersey because they were going to throw it away.
What?
Yep, that decision turned out to be a smart and lucrative one. Originally, he let the jersey sit in his closet, and he kind of brought it out to show people who came over and visited him. But then he elected to sell it off and allow it to flourish somewhere else. He says a portion of the sale will be donated to the school as well. Isn't that nice?
I was close.
No, you weren't close at all. Bad guess.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Okay. Oh. Having kids makes you happier. Eventually.
Yeah. Because the diapers, not a treat.
Having children will make you happier than staying childless, according to a new study, but not until later in life when they're out of the house.
Right. See ya.
When they've flown the coop.
My mother said that. We came back from college. She goes, well, you guys are interesting now. She's great. She's a real treat.
A team of researchers at Heidelberg University in Germany found that parents tend to be happier than non-parents in old age. But this only holds if their kids have moved out of the house.
Why? Because then some of you have so much to take care of you?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you have a foundation, a social network. Previous research has suggested that parenthood, social networks, and marital status all affect the well-being and mental health of older people. Mm-hmm. And this latest study looks at the effects of family status. 55,000 people, Jor, 50 and over, from 16 European companies were quizzed about their mental well-being, and the positive aspects of parenthood dominate when getting older. As you said, Jor, kids become a form of social support.
Yeah.
And the researchers point out that social support networks are associated with more happiness, less loneliness, and they can act as a buffer against stressful events. However, kids who still live at home are shown to have a negative effect on well-being.
And on your checkbook.
But I keep telling my kids, just finish off your basement, finish off your lower level.
I'm moving in.
So mom and dad can move in at some point. You know, just need a toilet, Wi-Fi, big screen TV.
No loud sex. That's going to gross them out.
Microwave. Oh, That would be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
I just had to make it inappropriate. Sorry.
Yeah,
I just had to go there. Just because I can.
By the way, your kids do not want to hear how they were conceived.
Oh, no.
They don't want to hear any of that. Don't even... public service announcement, don't even go there.
And that video of you giving birth, yeah, they don't want to see that either.
Yeah, they don't want to see, no. No, nobody wants to see
that. Well, you mentioned dirty diapers, so let's stick with that. Littering is bad, but it's worse when your car gets hit by a dirty diaper.
Oh,
and it's even worse for you if you threw it out of your car.
Oh.
When the car that it got hit by...
You're kidding. Somebody changed a diaper and then threw it out
of the... And the car that it hit... was a state trooper vehicle in Indiana. Yeah.
There is a God.
Right. Oh, honey.
Karma.
That's true. After working the state fair in Indianapolis on Sunday, a state police sergeant, Stephen Wheels, that's a cool name for a cop, Wheels, was on his way home when the dirty deed happened. A diaper came flying out of the car right in front of him, hit the road a couple of times, then struck the front of his patrol car before disappearing under his vehicle. The trooper pulled over the vehicle and, yes, found a passenger with a baby in the back seat. I hope the baby was in a car seat. The unnamed passenger would not admit that he had been changing the baby's diaper. Instead, the man told Wheels that they rolled down the window and the wind blew the diaper out of the vehicle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was that, a tornado?
Yep. Well, the cop let the man go on with his day, but not before giving him a ticket for littering and maybe some smell pollution. I mean, come on,
That's
a dirty
gross.
Diaper on the
that
road.
Is gross.
Come on, people.
Who are these people? All right. Oh, I thought of you with this, Jor. New public toilets in Wales, which is in the UK, come with anti-sex security measures. A new Welsh town.
Who's having sex in a toilet?
Well, apparently enough people are doing that they have special... outhouses now, special toilets let me read the story. These new public toilets, set to be installed in a local park, will feature security measures aimed at discouraging sexual activities. This town,
because the toilet kind of does that.
Porthcawl, which is spending $200,000 to replace the bathroom facilities at Griffin Park, said its new toilets will feature security measures aimed at discouraging vandalism, smoking, and sexual activities. The facilities, which officials said members of the public will have to pay to use, will have features including weight-sensitive floors.
Oh my! To see if
designed to determine whether there's more than just one person inside the bathroom. What if it's just really
a big, heavy person? Yeah, come on.
That's not cool. The stalls are designed to automatically open the doors, shoot water jets, and sound high-pitched alarms if there are any violent movements inside.
Well, what if you
are... could just make it a greater challenge, right, for some people?
Oh, my God.
Hey, come on, let's try this. Come on.
That is hard.
It'll be fun. Trust me.
That. So when you check into a hotel when you're vacationing or whatnot, do you have any specifications...
I tend to sleep in my car, but if I was staying at a hotel.
You know, like husband is allergic to feathers and the feather pillow. So he says, just give me like a, you know, whatever, not a feather pillow.
It used to be just no smoking rooms, but now aren't all rooms pretty much
smoking.
No smoking?
So you, when you go to a hotel, you don't request anything?
No.
No, David, are you high maintenance like that either?
No, as long as it's
easy.
Yeah, as long as it's reasonably clean.
You
and
need
stuff.
A crib now and all that other good
oh,
stuff.
Oh, we don't need a crib. She slept in the bottom of a bureau.
A drawer?
Really?
Yeah, she's a good traveler,
wow.
16-month-old. We will not call Child Protection Services about that either, at least
pretty
yet.
Impressive.
Mick Jagger, it's a little bit different for him. Every time he checks into a hotel on tour, the Daily Mail says he insists on a new mattress. Okay, but it has to be slept on one night by a minion. To break it in, a minion of all things, not like the ones from the movies, but like a person. Okay. A source says Mick always asks for a new mattress in his room, no matter how posh the hotel, but he insists that the plastic wrapping stay on while someone sleeps on it for one night to break it in. It is unusual. Does he need a new mattress? I don't know. Jagger's 76. He's currently on tour, by the way, with the Rolling Stones in the U.S. He's a father of eight. He's been getting rave reviews. He had heart surgery.
Right.
No, he's never looked and sounded better. He indicated that his health regime for traveling everywhere, he needs a private chef who prepares most of his dishes, and he wants a new mattress Every night. He says he knows the importance of a good night's sleep after the heart disease and all that good stuff. He says he knows the importance of a good night's sleep, and that's why he insists on having the new mattress. And, you know, he's not the only one. We've done stories like this in the past where people demand certain things in their when they're on tour. Like Beyonce demands her dressing room is exactly 78 degrees. She requires juicy baked chicken, wings and breasts only, seasoned with fresh garlic and cayenne pepper. Kanye West has a barber chair backstage along with a slushy machine containing a cocktail of frozen Coca-Cola and Hennessy. Katy Perry asked for pink and white peonies, absolutely no carnations, and a box of Huggies baby care wipes.
This sounds a lot like Mike Max when he goes to a Vikings game.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Yeah, the only the red M&Ms.
That's right.
And we're going to hear from Mike coming up.
So the plastic on the mattress.
I did not know that.
Plastic on the mattress.
So, well,
good luck making that demand.
He attributes, you know,
to a good night's sleep.
His longevity to good sleep. All right.
You got to ask Jerry if his dog was barking.
Whatever it takes. Yeah, I think that was Jerry's dog.
Mike Max make frequent appearances on Minnesota Hospital.
Yes.
But you have. But today he's brought to us by Giants Ridge. So thanks for joining us, Mikey.
Hey, Mike. Thank you. Yep, I'll be there Friday. Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
No, I had nothing interesting to say. Okay. I was just welcoming you. We're happy to hear from you.
Do you know your role on the hospital?
I do, but I can't divulge it.
Oh,
what happens is that this happens every time this time of year. My agent starts negotiating on my behalf because I never get enough lines, you know, initially. So until we get that figured out, I don't want to talk about what I'm going to be doing because it always goes down to the wire, and I probably won't know until Thursday night right now, you know?
Yeah. You still use a teleprompter everywhere you go?
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of it. I was not happy with the prompter last year.
Right. Yeah.
Only the
maybe it was
M&Ms.
The person running it, but those are things that we got to change. But we got to negotiate that.
I think that's why they don't ask us. We must be too expensive. That's why they never ask us to be on, I guess.
Oh, my. Tough loss last night for the Twins. What are you hearing?
Yeah, it was. I mean, they got beat by a team that outplayed them last night, the Chicago White Sox. It was interesting that Kyle Gibson went after Abreu, and Abreu hit a three-run homer. That was kind of the difference in the game because he challenged him early in the game, and either that or he missed. But either way, Abreu hit a long ways. Chicago's not bad, but they're not the Twins. And you know, baseball is a sport where I'd never bet it because the underdogs, it means less on a given night than any other sport that there is. Easier to predict any other sport than baseball. So are the White Sox going to dominate the Twins? No. Twins will dominate the White Sox, you know, maybe starting tonight. But the point being, in baseball, it's not that unusual to have an aberration like yesterday. Big Mike Pedetta gets the ball tonight. I had a nice visit with him yesterday, and he's number five in the rotation, but he's been through a lot of this stuff before. And he's not a vocal leader. He's kind of more a jokester than he is anything else. But I do think that he believes he can kind of steady some of the rotation storm that they've had lately.
I'm going to the game tonight. I hope we see
a win.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Are you throwing the first pitch or doing anything fun? No? No? Okay.
Yeah, they can't afford me.
They haven't asked yet.
Negotiate it.
Take your teleprompter.
I got to work on that. What else you covering, Mike? We got about a minute.
Vikings are in training camp, and they returned yesterday. Monday they had a day off. Today they returned. Last night I had a chance. I had dinner with Linval Joseph, their big nose guard. He's 330 pounds, and he took me to this Cajun place he'd been telling me about out in I think it's called Crazy Cajun out in Brooklyn Park. And a pretty cool guy, built this place by himself, moved up from Houston, did it on his own. But I think I can eat a lot, guys.
Yeah.
I was sitting across from Linval, and the plates just kept coming: the frog legs, the shrimp, the this, the that. But we had a nice visit about football as well, and he is of the belief that on the defense, all they got to do is straighten out what they did wrong last year, but it was completely on them. It was their fault. So it's not as if teams beat them. They beat themselves. And he says, I know that sounds simple. It's more complicated than that, but if you take care of yourself and don't try to do too much, you win. And we didn't do that last year. So I thought that was an interesting observation at minimum.
Very Mike self-aware.
Max, you're the
self-aware,
best.
That's what you call it. Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Coverage starts here at 6 for the Twins with Henry Lake's first pitch, pregame 6:30. Then the actual first pitch of the game is at 7:10. Thank you to Mikey, and go Twins. We'll be back next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.